Thank you, and welcome to our first half 2019 analyst briefing. Before we start, I want to introduce one new member of Board of Management, Pak Mulyono Chandra, our CFO, which will be replacing Pak Sathinder Ahluwalia at the beginning of this month. Without further ado, I invite Pak Alu to walk us through the first half results.
Thanks, Cesar. Good evening, everyone. The most important event in the last quarter for us was the acquisition of Danamon by MUFG was completed, whereby MUFG now own 94.1% in Bank Danamon. As we mentioned in the earlier quarters leading up to this acquisition, the biggest impact for us is we will now be able to freely collaborate with MUFG across all segments, whether it's in business, whether it's support areas, whether it's digital banking, et cetera. To some extent, we've already started seeing those positive fruits of that relationship, and we are hopeful of seeing even better and better results going forward. That was our truly biggest event in the last quarter. Okay. Now, going on to the next one, regarding our loan growth. Over the last two, 3 years, we used to keep saying that we have good loan growth, but micro is coming down, we are still looking flat. I'm happy that even in this quarter, which has been the story over the last two, three quarters, notwithstanding micro, et cetera, we continue to see very strong, robust growth across all our focus segments in Bank Danamon. Overall growth was about 14%. Yes, this does include our inorganic acquisition of Bank BNP, which is now part of Bank Danamon. We call it business banking. So if you include that, we are almost 14% ahead year-on-year. So our strategy in acquiring this company was right on. The mortgages and automotive portfolios, which are largely our organic portfolios, they've shown growth of 28% and 12%. And I will show you in later slides how it's extremely creditable for automotive to have done that. The enterprise banking segment and the SME, which are our core business functions, especially the enterprise banking, which has received a lot of fillip after MUFG coming in, has shown increase of almost 15% year-on-year. The Bank Nusantara, of course, BNP contributed 6 trillion. Most important for us in terms of liquidity has been our focus on CASA and TD. That's been our story for the last 4 years. So this year also, year on year, our CASA growth is almost 8%. Time deposits, as most of you know, liquidity was tight last year, and we've been chasing time deposits. And there's another story which I'll elaborate going forward. TDs grew almost 16%. We, in anticipation of compliance with NSFR, LCR regulations, we had planned a 5 trillion shell program, of which we issued 2 trillion of bonds early this year in May, of which were mostly 1 year and 3 years. And if need be, we'll issue probably another 3 trillion in the second half of this year. Moving on to the balance sheet side, if you see our loans, overall growth, it's 11%. And if you take away microbanking, because that's where our true segment is, it's almost 14% year-on-year and 8% quarter-on-quarter. Funding, too, has matched it. This is very important for us that we need to keep our funding in check. So funding has been almost 14% year-on-year, whereas quarter-on-quarter also is 7%. Of course, BNP has been contributing substantially to this, and we expect a lot from that franchise which we acquired recently. In terms of income, of course, given the increase in interest rates last year and the consequent change to liquidity, right, we're very happy in the sense our net interest income, if you take away micro, has still remained positive at 2% this year, and quarter-on-quarter 1% is still positive, because we've seen many of our competitors go negative in this area. Non-interest income, which is our bread and butter, that's how we actually make our money, is up 4% year-on-year and 9% quarter-on-quarter. Operating expenses has been our best story for the last 4 years, and it continues to be so. Our OPEX grew only by about 3%. Of course, quarter-on-quarter, there are movements in the second quarter, but we still feel it's under control. And you will see in the next slide how our cost-income ratio is still under control. So OPEX, we're very pleased we've been able to maintain at this level. Cost of credit, We are seeing some early signs of incremental delinquency, but we feel this is in line with the industry, and we are pretty hopeful in one or two quarters coming down, we'll be again back to where we were two quarters ago. And I'll share some details on that later. Because of the pressure on cost of funds and the competition, we preferred not to increase our yields on any of our loans because we want to maintain our loan growth momentum. So consequent to that, we saw a decrease in our net profits. That's the main reason. Because as you see, OPEX, well controlled, cost of credit, pretty well controlled, notwithstanding that the cycle has turned, I would say, slightly adverse. So we feel this number can be recouped back in one or two quarters, especially with cost of funds now starting to go down. So we'll start to see a reverse cycle where we'll start to claw back some of these funds. Key ratios. As I mentioned, the NIM suffered largely because our first focus has always been to maintain liquidity. To maintain liquidity, we had to compete for deposits at market rates. So we paid that price. Cost of deposits was almost 100, 120 basis points. On the other hand, we preferred not to burden our customers with yield. Also, there were adequate market competitive pressures, and consequent to that, our NIM has suffered. But again, as I said, with the interest rates now going down, we expect to see the cycle reverse over the next one or two quarters. It will take a while, but definitely start to reverse positively for us. Cost of credit, so far so good. As I said, it fluctuates every quarter. Sometimes it's up 20 basis points, sometimes it's down 20 basis points. We feel whatever has to peak will peak in Q3. Q4, we should be back to normal. That's our expectation on cost of credit. Now, cost to income ratio has got impacted largely purely because our income numbers didn't grow as much as what we thought because we maintained our interest rates. So if we look at the scenario going forward where cost of funds should start to come down and the yields remain, we expect it to remain stable, so we would expect to see improvement in cost to income ratio also. And I have another good story on cost to income which I'll cover in another slide later. CASA ratio, since we prefer to chase time deposits to maintain adequate liquidity, CASA ratio suffered a little bit, but overall, I will show you another slide, CASA has also grown year on year. So that's a good story. In terms of NPL, still there. As I said, it keeps moving up and down, 20 basis points every quarter. We feel Q3 will be the time we see the peak in NPL. After that, we expect Q4 onwards to go back to what we saw last year. Now, if I move on, loan loss coverage, what happens, June is the month where it's a short but collections month. So consequently, a lot of things land up in special mention and they start to go back in the month of July, August. So consequently, loan loss coverage appeared a little lower. But again, we expect to recoup it back over two quarters here. ROA, ROE obviously were impacted purely because our net profits are down. But we yet remain a very healthy 2% roughly or 1.9% kira in this quarter. Our CAR remains as strong as anyone, if not better than most people in the industry. The next slide will show you what I just alluded to about cost-income ratio. If we take away microbanking, and microbanking we've been rationalizing over the last few years, we feel the majority of the rationalization in microbanking will finish by this year end, although there'll be some remnants going into next year. So if you see the cost-income ratio, if you take away SEM, we are 47.9%, and clearly, that's probably one of the best games in the industry in Indonesia as we speak today. There are very few large-sized banks with such a good quality cost-income ratio. So that's the good story that will come out next year once the SEM portfolio has run off. Moving on to funding, as I alluded to earlier, while the CASA ratio seemed higher, here when we see that our CASA has grown 8% year-on-year, but our term deposits grew 16%. Our focus, we are always conservative. We will always keep adequate, if not strong, liquidity. So our TDs grew faster than CASA. Consequently, CASA ratio looked a little lower. Having said that, over the last few weeks, we have adequate liquidity because we issued bonds in May. We've now started to let go of expensive term deposits. And now with the interest rates coming down, we expect to see now CASA ratio come back to what we've been seeing over the last 2 to 3 years. So that's a good story out here. In terms of LDR, we are very healthy as compared to the industry. Industry is roughly about 95 to 100%. We are at 95%. We are clearly at the lower end of that. 95 was last year, so we are 95 this year, so we are much better than the industry. In terms of LFR, RIM, we are well within all parameters, including our own internal risk appetite. So liquidity-wise, we will always remain strong. Moving on to our capital structure, at a consolidated ratio of almost 21.7%, this is post-dividend payouts. I think we have one of the strongest CARs in the industry, and that's where we will remain. So it's a good story.